Lizard or not, here's another email from Damien. He says, my sons Dara and Rory and I went down to Cashel on Thursday the 15th of February. We visited my brother's house to visit the boys' cousins and aunts. While out investigating the garden, Dara and his cousin Katie found a strange creature. Please find attached some pictures of their new friend, which you can see on our website. It goes on, I placed the lizard, he calls it, on my hand, and after about a minute, it started to move. Maybe the heat from my hand gave him some energy to move. We placed it back under the block of wood where it was found. Later, when they checked, the lizard had vanished. And it's a lovely picture. And I suppose if you're to look at it at first sight, you might think to yourself, well, it must be a lizard. But is it when you take a closer look? And well, to me, it didn't quite have all the features that the common lizard, we've only got one lizard in Ireland, has. I looked at some images and pictures and books and all that kind of stuff. But the specialist is a man called Rob Gandoli. You heard him on the programme last week with Terry Flanagan trying to figure out how the frog got into the rear taillight in Adrian Kennedy's car. But he joins us again. Rob, you're an expert in these areas. You've seen the picture. What is it?
Yeah, so Damien sent us in this fantastic picture that, you know, he thought they discovered lizards in his brother's garden. What it turns out to be is that the kids actually found one of our native smoothnoots, which is Ireland's only tailed amphibian, which is a member of the salamander family. So, you know, where people get these charismatic yellow and black salamanders that you get on the continent of Europe. But smoothnoots are our only representative in Ireland, on the entire island, that we have of that particular family group.
So it's not a lizard. Now, tell me why it's not a lizard. Can you describe the differences?
Yeah, so the main difference is that it's an amphibian, so it won't have scales. All reptiles will have scales, so that includes lizards. There's also differences in numbers of digits on the hands and on the feet as well. But the big difference really is that newts, in most cases, and especially with our ones, is that they have to go back to water to breed, whereas lizards breed on land. Female smoothnoots are incredible animals. They can lay up to 600 eggs. They wrap them individually with their hind feet in pond weed or leaf litter in the pond or whatever, but it's all done underwater. They're incredible little beasts. This time of year, the males turn quite spotty, so it's all to show off to the girls. They have this lovely goldeny orange belly that is kind of with this dispersed black dots all over it as well. And they engage in an incredible courtship display called the wiggle dance to attract the attention of the female smoothnoots. And there's all sort of elaborate interplays for the male to know that the female smoothnoot is actually interested in them.
Oh, tell me about the wiggle dance. Sounds interesting.
It's one of the best things you'll ever see if you're looking into a pond. So the males sit in the water column. So if you can imagine, they're as close to standing upright as you can. So the head is towards the surface of the water and the tail is kind of just below and bent in front of them. And what they're doing is they're emitting pheromones from their cloaca and they waft the pheromones towards the female smoothnoot with their tail. So they're wiggling like crazy to push these pheromones through the water column to get to the female smoothnoot. And she can use these pheromones then to determine how good of a prospective father this particular male smoothnoot is to her unfertilized eggs at this stage. And if she thinks he's worth the, if his juice is worth the squeeze, she'll go up and swim up behind him and she'll touch him with her nose. And then he'll move forward. And if she follows, he'll stop and do another wiggle. And she'll follow again and touch him again and he'll follow. And this kind of repeats itself until she's determined that this guy is the Mac Daddy and he's sufficiently happy that he's got her wrapped, you know, around his little finger due to his, you know, prowess on the dance floor. And then he will lay a sperm packet on the bottom of the pond. And then the female newt will walk above it and she will fertilize herself with this sperm packet. So it's completely different to what frogs are doing, where there's amplexus, which is where the male frog jumps on the back of the female frog and holds on for dear life and then encourages her slash squeezes her to release her spawn. Smoothnoots, it's all hands off. It's all done individually. But it is very vigorous and you can see why things like frog tadpoles are a big item on the menu this time of the year and frog eggs because dancing 24/7 is an extremely energetic exercise and obviously metabolically very expensive.
I remember watching Britain's Got Talent some years ago, and there was a guy on, he got the golden buzzer. I can't remember his name, but the song was Wiggle and Wine or Wiggle Way. I'll find it, I'll stick it in. Now I know what he was singing about. Anyway, Richard.
Rob, I believe that newts hibernate in woodpiles and under logs. People hardly ever see newts because they're nocturnal and they're aquatic and so forth. But going to a woodpile in the winter, you might suddenly find one. And of course, it was seen as dark and mysterious. The Alt Lucre of my childhood was supposed to go into your mouth when you were asleep, down into your stomach and eat all your food. Now, is there any truth in this? Why is it on the dark side? The world of animals is divided into the goodies and the baddies. And unfortunately, this lovely, harmless creature tends to be put in the baddies. Can you comment on that?
I can indeed. And it's one of these Irish mythological kind of old wives' tales that I absolutely love. So this is where the idea of the man keeper or the man creeper, as newts are sometimes known as. And like you said, they're supposed to crawl into the mouth of, usually it's a male, and they climb down into his stomach, and then he suffers from wasting disease because the newt's eating all of his food, right? So he's getting no nutrition at all. And this is generally a common occurrence when there was men who fell asleep out on the bog, whether they were cutting turf or they were acting the giddy goat and they didn't want to go home in a certain condition to the wife. But the cure is brilliant. Apparently, the cure to get the newt back out was you had to put a lovely piece of bacon in front of your mouth or have it strapped to your head and dangle it in front of your mouth. And this would encourage the newt to climb up your esophagus and come out of your mouth because it made him hungry and or it made him very thirsty, obviously, because of the salt content. It's complete nonsense, but it's absolutely fantastic.
The witches in Macbeth are mixing their brew, and it's the eye of newt and the toe of frog, wool of bat and tongue of dog. But actually, they're the names of common plants. But they are, you have that same dark association with witness there. So it's not just an Irish thing. Is there anything to fear from newts, in fact?
Absolutely not. So they're not only the incredible member of our native fauna, they also should be the good guys because they do something that sometimes maybe they might get in trouble and seem to be masters of the dark arts. But because they're members of the salamander family, they have an incredible ability to regenerate. So a lovely lady in Tipperary sent me photographs once about, it must be nearly 2 years ago now. And she had found a smooth newt in the garden who had either been damaged by a strimmer or by a corvid or something anyway. But this particular newt had extensive trauma and scarring to the head and his eye. And she didn't want to let him go back into the garden because he was hurt. So I just said, well, take photographs, put him somewhere safe with some soil and leaf litter and monitor how he progresses. And over the next 2 months or so, the skin started to repair itself. The eye actually repaired itself. Now, it wasn't able to grow back the full eye, but it did regrow the eye stalk. And you could see this in the photographs. So, it was brilliant. So this lady, Patricia, named this particular new Bilbo, as in from Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, because obviously the ring was able to keep him alive for a long, long time. So Bilbo became a bit of a celebrity within the herpetological society because we were watching him regrow his skin and watch his muscles stitch back together and everything else. I don't know. Does that make them a goodie? I think it does. Because if you look at their distant relatives in Mexico, the axolotls, they're being studied extensively because they can regenerate everything from limbs to hearts to brains to spinal cords. Absolutely incredible animals with huge medical potential for people. So, you know, I would say that smooth newts are the goodies in the overall scheme of things.
And that's exactly what the picture is of, a smooth newt, correct?
Yeah, it absolutely is, yeah.
Well, Rob, thank you very much indeed. We knew you would be the man to talk to. We'll talk to you soon, Rob. Bye.
Thanks kindly. See you, lads. Bye-bye.